with me once again to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, we have been studying the life of David. And now in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to begin in the 50th verse of that chapter. Be dealing with the entire chapter, but go to verse 50. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take this time, that you would make it yours, that you would accomplish your purpose in us. And thank you, Father, for all that you do. Your blessings beyond measure. And Father, I pray that they would pour down on this service. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22 is a passage that we find near the end of David's life. Now, I know you know there are Bible people that lived hundreds of years. That was not David. David lived to the ripe old age of 70. And I can tell you from where I stand, that doesn't seem very old. David had a tough life. His 70 years were tough years. He started out as a shepherd while tending the sheep. What do you do while you tend sheep? Well, you listen to music. Well, he had no cell phone. He did not even have a radio. He did find a harp, or either he made a harp, probably self-taught in playing, and he began to compose songs. He would sing to the sheep, never got a complaint, no bad reviews. And he gained such ability that is the talent that God used to bring him into Saul's life on a close personal way. You see, Saul had emotional problems, and Saul's people, those around him, wanted to calm him, and they felt like music could do it. They looked for somebody who could play and sing. And David, the conqueror of Goliath, was the one chosen. And so he would sing, and the music would have its way to bring peace to Saul's heart. God would use this man to write scripture. And most of us have been blessed by that scripture that he has placed down there. In fact, the most requested chapter of the Bible that I am asked for again and again and again at funerals is the 23rd Psalm. God would use him in many ways. One of the reasons people love David is because he has a way of getting to your heart. God, in his wisdom, used the personalities of the individuals that he used to write the Bible. And so he poured himself through David onto paper. But he used who David was, and in that, David brought out himself. And in the Psalms, you're going to find almost every emotion known to man. Songs have a way of getting to our heart. And so David had a way of getting to our hearts. This psalm is found in 2 Samuel 22, and it's found again in Psalms 18. David's found if you got something good, you can use it more than once. God wanted it to be where we could see it. David said that he wrote this psalm at a particular time in verse 1. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So even though this appears in 2 Samuel very late in David's life, that's not when it was written by David. He wrote it very early in his reign. In fact, he probably wrote it right after Saul and Jonathan's death. Today, many of David's psalms are used in worship. We sing many of the songs that David sung, perhaps to a different tune, but we sing them. David used this psalm for personal worship. I believe when David used this song, when he sang this song, he was praising the Lord in personal time of prayer and exaltation. And I believe he did this again and again and again and again. I believe it was one of those songs that just stuck with him, one of those ways that he was able to lift up God, one of those ways he was able to remind himself of how great God is. And so from this song, we find God's revelation in verse 2. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior, you save me." David pauses after the Philistines have attacked and attacked and attacked, after King Saul has died and has stopped trying to kill him, and he praises God. What David knows is the only way he could be alive is the fact that God preserved his life. Now, I don't know what you've been through, but I will make you this statement, and I know it to be true. The only way you are breathing and living to be here is God has preserved your life. And if God has preserved your life, it's reasonable to think he's preserved your life for a purpose. No matter who you are, God has a plan for you. Have you ever stopped to think how God has tried to reveal himself to you? Through our lives, God will try to show himself to us again and again and again. You can see God in the stars. You can see God in the moon. You can see God in the sun. You can see God in the beautiful sky. Becky is always pointing out the sky, how beautiful the sky. Sky's always different, but ever how it is, it's beautiful. And she always points that out. And it's just, look what God has done for us. You do understand that God could have given us a black and white world. He didn't. He put the colors in to lift our spirits and to remind us that he cares about all things about us. Often we get so wrapped up in ourselves, we get so wrapped up in day-to-day life, we don't even think about God. But God has tried to show you he is real. There have been perhaps times in your life when you've had near misses. You know, perhaps driving a car. If you drive in Columbus, we live by near misses. And God has brought you through. Perhaps there was a fall and you didn't break anything. Or perhaps you did and you lived through it. And God carries you through. Look at how God is revealed in this psalm. He says, "God is my rock." This means God is the foundation. God is that one that you can build your life on. God is unmovable. God is unshakable. You can always trust him. He is always right there. Think of David growing up in a world of sand and dust and wind. The sand would blow, the terrain would change. If they were going to build any structure, they had to dig down through the sand to find bedrock. You know, when they built one World Trade Center, they had to dig down to find bedrock, to find something solid, to find something that did not move. That is what David says our God is like. He's not changing today and tomorrow. He's holding true all the time. And so if you come to know him, you will know that he will always be the same and he will always care for you. Jesus said, the Bible says of Jesus, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They would move through life. They would they would trust the Lord, and they would see that he was always there for them. My rock. But he's not only the rock, he says, my fortress. Where a rock is for our salvation, we can build our lives on a rock. A fortress is for our protection. We live in a scary world. A lot of scary things are happening. You know what? God can protect you. God can care for you wherever you are, whatever the situation is. We know our hearts go out to those poor children that were assassinated in Texas. And that has happened again and again across the world. My friend, God will care for you. When you don't have anybody else to look to, God will be your fortress. God is your defender. A fortress is a place to keep out those that would do you harm. Jerusalem was a fortified city. There's a wall all the way around Jerusalem proper. And in that day, many of the cities were walled cities. Those walls were to be a fortress to keep the enemy out, to protect individuals. Our mighty God can protect you. I believe if you are a born-again believer, there is no way you're going to leave this planet until God is ready. He is not only my fortress, he's my deliverer. In verse 2, he's not only the rock, the fortress. God's the one who delivers us away from harm. God is always looking out for what is best for you and for me. You know, there are times when you just need God to keep the enemy away, and he's our fortress. But there are times that we get in a mess, and God will just pick us up and move us out of it. A deliverer. He knows which time to be what in your life. He knows when to be your fortress. He knows when to be your deliverer. And he's the one that can guard and protect you. Sometimes there have been some people that have talked about demons coming and demons possessing people. Well, let me tell you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he is our fortress. He's our protection. No demon's going to ever get in. And where God is, a demon can't be. And he's our deliverer. If you ever get in a spiritual onslaught that cannot be handled where you are, he will just pick you up and move you. He is my shield. In every battle, in that day especially, a shield was extremely important. It's kind of like people going into battle today. They wear body armor. Well, in that day, they didn't have body armor. They had a body shield. And they were normally not small things. They were big things. The Roman shield was so big, in fact, that if a person fell in battle and they were wounded, they could be put on their shield, and the shield would become their stretcher. A shield was that defense armament that you had to move wherever the blow was going to come from. You see, you don't know when the attack is going to be in front of you, to the side of you, or behind you. But with God as your shield, he is my front guard. He is my rear guard. He is my side guard. He is the one that will protect me in every single attack. The shield caught all the blows meant for you. Now, think of this. When Jesus went to Calvary's cross, the wrath of God poured out on Jesus because he took your sin and my sin. That wrath that was supposed to pour out on you, if you know Jesus as your Savior, poured out on him. He took it for you as your shield. He is the horn of my salvation. Well, on an animal, horns are offensive and defensive. Here is the horn of my salvation. God allows me, though I have no ability on my own, God will allow me to push through the difficulties of life so that my salvation is secure. I'm going to get to the finish line of heaven. I am going to be saved forever because God is the horn of my salvation. He will allow me to move through whatever I need to move through to get safely there. The scripture proclaims, he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. God is going to protect you, and God is going to move you where you need to be saved forever. He's my high tower, not my low tower. He's my high tower. High towers are for defense. High towers are for protection, and high towers are for knowledge. You see, if you're on the high tower, you can see when the enemy's coming. God's our high tower. He knows what's coming at you. He knows what protection you need. A high tower was also very protection-oriented because they were built with very, very spiral and narrow steps. If you go to a castle today and go to one of the high towers, you go up these revolving steps, and they're different sized, and they're different widths, and you have to watch where you're going or you can't go up. Imagine trying to attack on an upward trail on those kind of steps. Well, it's so easy to defend from above. It's easy for God to defend you. It's not hard. God is able to protect you. And as a high tower, he's able to tell you what you need to know. I know you want to know more. I know you're there saying why sometimes, and you can't see what's out there. But God lets you know what you need to know. You don't need to know everything. If God chooses not to tell you something, then you just don't need to know it. And if you're just wasting your life away saying, why did this happen, or why did that happen, or why? Listen, you're not going to know many things. But if you know God, if you know Jesus, he knows, and he will protect you. And so he is our high tower. He's the one that's going to watch out over you in every situation. He is my refuge. Oh, how many times at a funeral service we say God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. God's our refuge. A refuge is a safe place. A refuge is a place where you can go and be at ease. A refuge is a place where you can find the comfort you need. God is our refuge. God is the one that you can run to when you can't run to anyone else. As a child feels safe in their parents' arms, you can feel safe in the arms of Jesus. He is your refuge, and he is, David says, my Savior. Perhaps you've noticed, David goes through this psalm, and he keeps saying, my. Over and over again, it's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my horn of salvation, my refuge, my Savior. He's claiming this very personally. God is mine. And that means a great deal. If you don't think it means a great deal, let me take you another way. You know Elon Musk? He's got a lot of money. Billions, not millions, billions of dollars. You know, he's the guy that started making electric cars. Thank you very much, Elon. And you know, he's got rockets that will shoot space capsules out of the atmosphere, actually, into space. He is a very smart man, and he is a very, very rich man. But you know what good that does me? None. When Elon Musk says, my billions, it doesn't faze me one bit in any way. But he's a very eccentric fellow, and so what if one day he just calls me up? He wouldn't have any trouble getting my number. He didn't have any trouble getting whatever he wants. He's got billions of dollars. And so he said, Jerry, it's Elon. Just want you to know, I've been thinking about you. Okay. You know, I've had these billions of dollars so long, I'm kind of tired of it. I just thought I would make my bank account yours. And if instead of it being my billions, it'll be your billions. Could you handle that? Let me think. Yes. And so he transfers all of that, and all of his wealth becomes all of my wealth. All of a sudden, him having money then does not affect me still. My having money affects me a whole lot. My billions. Just kind of rolls off the tongue. My billions. Now, I know you think that is very far-fetched, but can I tell you that it's exactly what has happened to me, but not the same way? Jesus owns it all. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is Almighty God. He has it all. He has all the wealth. He has blessings beyond measure. And when Jesus went to Calvary's cross, he took my sins and he gave me his all. And when I say my Jesus, that's personal. That is a God who will care for me all the days of my life and beyond. And his care is worth far more than a few billion here or there. David tells us who God is. Then he moves on to tell us of God's power. It's available if we will call upon him. Do you believe God has all power? Are you calling on him? I hope so. How foolish it would be to know that God has rich blessings waiting for you and you never asked. Ever heard the verse, you have not because you do what? Ask not. God tells us to ask, to come before him and just ask. You're in difficulty, you're in a hardship, you're in a terrible situation. Ask him. Ask for God to show you the way through. Ask for God to get you out. Ask for God to be merciful to you. Ask for God to deliver you. In verse 5, he says, when the ways of death came and floods of evil, men brought fear. Listen, there are threats of death out there. Yes, when they come, when the fear of the grave is before you, call out to God. He's the one that can assist you. He's the one that can care for you. On this side of Calvary, this should be a no-brainer. We know that Jesus died, was buried, that he rose again, that he's alive forevermore. Just think of what he can do for us. Call on him. If you know the Lord, if you're faithful to the Lord, you can call out to the Lord with whatever is in your heart, with whatever you face. And God will give his peace. And so David shares God's revelation. Then he shares God's righteousness in verse 21 and 22. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. This is David, by the way, talking. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Now, if you've been with us through our study of David, you probably are looking at that verse and think David's a little off center. David clean, David righteous. What righteousness did he have? What do we know about David? We know he was a liar. We know he was an adulterer. We know he was a murderer. Righteousness? One of the realizations that you have in David's life is David was a real person and he messed up like a real person. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is certainly me. That was David too. That's you too. David didn't have any righteousness. I certainly don't have any righteousness. Back in verse 7, it says, David cried out to the Lord in faith. That tells you where he got his righteousness. If you remember back in Genesis 15, it says, Abraham believed God and it was counted for him righteousness. The only hope any of us have at being righteous is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He takes our sin, he gives us his righteousness. And his righteousness cares for us. How do you go to heaven? You ever hear somebody say, if anybody's ever going to go to heaven, they're going to go to heaven. That's just because you think they're better than you are. Doesn't mean they're good enough to go to heaven. There's nobody good enough to go to heaven. All have sinned. All are separated from the glory of God. All. The only way we can get to heaven would be if God found a way to forgive us and to give us his righteousness. And that is Jesus. David could call himself righteousness because his sins had been forgiven as he called out on God. Psalms 103:10 says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. Praise God. You may want to write this verse down, by the way. Psalms 103:10-12. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Jesus took our sins. He gave us his righteousness. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. David tells us of God's revelation. David tells us of God's righteousness. And David tells us of God's resources in verse 47. The Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. It's not hard to see that as lyrics. In fact, there are songs where those lyrics stand. David declares it is God who will give him strength and power. Are you weak? Yes. Weak and heavy laden? Most of us. God will give you strength and power. Verse 33, he is our light for the dark times. And verse 29, are you in a dark place? Well, we live on this planet. We're all kind of in a dark place. He's the light for the dark times. When you find yourself in the midnight hours and all is getting dark and darker, Jesus can turn on the light. He is my shield. Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because God is my shepherd, I don't have to want for anything. He's got me covered. He's got you covered. Psalms 50, verse 50, I will give thanks unto you, O Lord. God gives us his resources. His resources are beyond measure. His resources can meet you where you are. His resources can pick you up. His resources can give what you don't have. His resources give breath, and his resources give life now and forevermore. And when your old body gives out, when you breathe your last, if you are in Jesus, his resources lifts you up, going to give you an eternal body, and you'll be in heaven forever and ever in his glory. I will give thanks unto you, O Lord. If you don't know Jesus, you need to come to know him. You need to give him your heart. You need to give him your all. The only way to all of these blessings is God, is for him to be yours, and the only way for him to be yours is for you to receive Jesus. And if you're a believer, stop living in a world of dread and fear. Start living in a world of trusting the Almighty God that you have, who can carry you through whatever you face. He is the one. He is the one to praise. And the best way to praise him is to live in your life toward Jesus. Would you stand with me for a moment of prayer? Father, right now I ask that you would move within our hearts. Father, for those that do not know you, I pray that this would be a time when they would come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. For those of us that know you, Father, forgive us for not serving you, for not following you as we should. Right now, draw our hearts close to you. Father, we would lift you up as the God of our salvation. And Father, I pray that we would praise you with all that we do and with all that we say. Father, your glory would shine through what you do in our lives. And perhaps now, Father, you would draw believers to the altar just to recommit themselves to you. Father, to be able to proclaim those things that David proclaimed, and to know what is David's God is our God, and his deliverance is there for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing.